Welcome, everybody, to the Governor's House. I'm Larry Sharp, and I'm running for Governor of New York. If you want to support me, please go to LarrySharp.com. That's Larry Sharp with an E. The E stands for electable. I have with me today my daughter, Josephine.
Hi.
That is Josephine, my 8-year-old daughter. She is here with me today. You guys know that sometimes I bring my kids with me because I travel so much, I don't get to see them. So when I have a chance, I try to bring them along with me whenever I can. If you want to call the program, 877-480-4120, and I will take your calls. Any call is okay. Any question is fine. I'm good with any of them. As you know, I do this every Wednesday night to make sure people can talk to me, know who I am, and decide if you want to ask me some crazy question. All good. Happy to hear you. I want to talk today a little bit about small business, specifically small business in New York State, but small business everywhere. The issue that most small businesses have is they struggle up front to get moving. The reason why most small businesses fail is not because the people are bad or things are dumb. The reason why they fail is they run out of money. That's the reason. You run out of money, you fail. So, great, sounds, seems to make sense, right? But here's the issue. You must either start with a whole lot of money or have someone available to help you to give you a bunch of money or make a bunch of money. Any of those things will keep you in business. Most of the times, most small businesses will go out of business within the first 5 years. What is very often the final nail in a coffin? Far too often, it's actually government. Very often, the tax bill. The tax bill is very often put you under, or some employee who sues you, workers' comp, insurance, a fine or fee, or here's the worst thing heavily in New York State. New York State loves to bring business into New York in a very important way. Bribery. Yes, bribery. New York State's very good at saying, hey, big business, why don't you come into my city or my town? Here's what I'll do. I'll give you tens of millions of dollars. I'll give you tax breaks. I'll give you all these different things that will make you, you know, happy to come to my town. So they give this and it will last for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever the case may be. We've been so dumb in New York, we've actually bought land and then asked companies to lease the land for us. From us. That's how bad we've been. The last debacle, we spent $15, $20 million, $40 million and sold the land away for $1. I'm not making that up just to dump it because it costs so much. So you throw all this into the pot. Here's a bunch of money. Come on, big business. So here's what happens. Big business says, this is amazing. Oh my God, what a great deal. I will show up here. I will create some jobs. But the amount of jobs I create are completely offset by all the taxes I'm not paying. I'm not paying taxes. Here's another worst part. Not only do I not pay the taxes, but now I have an unfair advantage against the local small businesses. So local small businesses now suffer even more against big business. Small business goes out of business. And then 3 years, 4 years later, once big business, the bribes go away, now big business leaves too. So everything leaves. Everyone's devastated. Everything's crushed. This is not the right answer. There are ways to support small businesses that New York State needs to be doing. Number one, don't push away new industry. Number one thing, simplest thing, we push away new industry. We push out the vaping industry. We push out marijuana and hemp. We've pushed out cryptocurrency. These are all good, newfangled industries where new stuff's happening, and we push them out. No, don't push out new industry. Instead, embrace new industry, embrace blockchain, embrace hemp marijuana, embrace all these new things so that people want to come and stay. Think of the vaping industry, you can actually have a business that starts out of your garage. So number one, don't get rid of and fight new. We fought Uber. We fought Airbnb. We fought Lyft. None of that. First thing, embrace it. The gambling industry. Yes, just saw that. Thank you, James. Online poker. Yes, embrace it all. You just made my daughter laugh. Yes, embrace all these things. That's the first step, but that's nowhere near enough. That's just the first cultural issue to deal with. The second cultural issue to deal with. Simplify the tax code. The tax code should be simple as possible. A simplified tax code means that the small businesses will not require an accountant just when you have one or two people, employees. You shouldn't need that. Not for one or two employees. It should be simple. But more importantly, a simple tax code means big business, which has all the lawyers and the accountants and all those people who can find the loopholes, will always pay less taxes by percentage. Always, because they will find all the loopholes. And what with small business? They won't find the loopholes. And the other chance is they also have a bigger chance of making a mistake, which is why big business decides to write all these regulations and detailed tax code so that when they get a fine of $50,000, big business laughs at that, pays the fine. You're a small business owner. You are finished. That's the game. It's over. So we need to simplify tax code no matter what. Simplify tax code. All right, not just that. Wages. Why in the world are we telling people how to pay their people? Wages is a bad idea. Let people just pay people how they want to pay them. Let there be a negotiation between the individual and, of course, the business owner. And if you want to have collective bargaining, wonderful. Cut the bargain. Have a problem. Have a bunch of you get together and say, we're not going to work unless you pay us X or give us Y. No worries. There's no reason to have New York State involved between that at all. Let the workers decide how they want to be paid. Let the business decide how they want to pay their workers and let them fix that. One more thing we can do. There's a whole lot more, but let me give you just a couple more. One more thing we can do, and that is deal with licensing and regulations. Licensing and regulations. Right now, all licensing and regulations are all written by big business. Yes, of course, on purpose. Written by big business to make sure, again, it is confusing and detailed, and this way the big business is able to win a deal with it and small business cannot. Small business gets hit with fines, small business to pay licensing fees, and again, puts them under. That's not the right answer, but it's the worst part. We have licensing now for things, as I talk about all the time, walking dogs and braiding hair. The person who wants to start a dog walking business or braiding hair business or a vape store or something like that, that person's not a millionaire. That person's trying to move themselves up the ladder. They're trying to make things better for themselves, and we are crushing them. It is a bad idea. All licensing does is create a barrier to entry. It removes competition for the big boys and punishes the poor. Change that, and all of a sudden now we have a better chance. I'll go even further to help out small business. If they want to hire people who are in any way challenged, meaning they have a felony conviction or they don't have the proper licensing or they're somehow challenged mentally or physically, give them a break on the state payroll tax for 2 years. No paying of state payroll tax for 2 years. Why do I say that for small business? Here's the reason why. Small business usually hires one-on-one. They know that kid down the street who made a stupid mistake and got a felony conviction, but he just made a mistake and he's not a bad kid. And they can now give him a shot, hire that kid, give him a chance to get back on his feet because they know him or her. That's what I want. They know that single mom who just got divorced, who's now struggling, and that she can't get a job because she's been raising kids for 5 years, doesn't have experience, and maybe now she has other issues. Maybe now she has a medical issue. Maybe that's why she got divorced. Who knows what happened? But they know that person. They can hire them, give them a shot. And now that allows people to get up the ladder and gives them a bit of an advantage over big business. Last piece I'll talk about, localization. If we, and we're going to copy this as a law that's already been, copy the law that's already been written in Wyoming. If a business agrees to only sell locally, nothing else, only sell locally, and they don't have to apply like Startup New York and none of that garbage, sign a sheet of paper. Yes, I agree. I will sell only locally. If they agree to sell locally, only within New York State, I want to make them immune from all federal regulatory bodies. This is based on something that's already being done in Wyoming. What will that do? If you're a big business, you sell across the border for sure. But if you're a small business, you may not. And if you don't, those regulations that you don't have to worry about now are going to give you a small advantage. Now, of course, you must always be transparent. You will hear me talk about transparency all the time. So you got to put a stamp on there saying, I am not, you know, following federal guidelines in this case. And if you're as a consumer, you care, then you don't buy that product. But if you don't care, you buy that product. And now local can support local and counties can support counties. Lots of this is what we can do to help small business, to give them a shot, to make them want to come back. But the biggest thing I can do through for all business is within 4 years, if we do this right, we deal with the problems you have in New York State and make stuff come back, guess what we can do? We can eliminate the state income tax. That is the home run, the holy grail. For 4 years from now, we can actually make that happen. There's so much we can do if we put our minds to it and we're serious about helping small business. Hope that was clear. I am a small business owner. I have both succeeded and failed in small business. I know what it's like to collapse. I know what it's like to be successful. I know what it's like to have government on your neck. And I know what it's like to actually win. I know all those feelings. If you're a business owner who's failed, I know your pain. I've been here. I know what it's like. I want to give you the best chance to succeed. And now I'm boring my daughter because she doesn't care at all about these things. She doesn't care at all. So it's great. All right. Thank you for hearing that. Let me take a quick phone call. I have Tommy on line one. Tommy, how are you, sir?
Hey, Larry. I'm doing great, buddy. I am tickled to death that you actually brought up the small business topics tonight. Here in Washington County, in my county council race, I have been making a solid effort to meet and talk with all the small business owners that are on the local square here in Salem. And the issue that I have found that it looks like I'm going to have to tackle is the fact that they are charging every business on the square a higher tax rate because the county considers it to be prime real estate. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a bypass go in here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've got business growing out on the bypass. And to me, Larry, in my mind, that would be prime real estate now, wouldn't it? And shouldn't they be cutting those small business owners a break now that that town is growing in that direction? Am I right?
Well, yeah, here's the issue. You brought up two important points. The first one is, for any town, county, city to be resilient, it has to have small business, medium business, and big business, all three, and they're going to fluctuate. That's natural. But the second piece you brought up is a very valid point. What governments usually do, counties, local is actually worse usually than state or federal in this regard. When they see someone making money, they think, ooh, cash cow. Let me take some more from them. Let me grab more for them. That's what they usually do. But your point's a valid one. What often happens is when that happens, they wind up stifling the actual growth. So I think the reverse is true. As it becomes prime, they should give it some time to ramp up. They should actually lower to get more in, right? I would rather have more business happening at a lower tax rate than less business happening at a higher tax rate. If I want to encourage business to be done, I've got to try my best to lower the taxes to the best of my ability. So I think you're totally right. I like the idea of them shifting and moving, but here's a better one. How about you keep the tax rate exactly the same, regardless of where it is, and let the consumers decide where they want to shop, and let the consumers decide what's actually more important or less important. And if you can get people to buy more stuff and make more transactions, you'll raise revenue anyway. I would always rather have maximum transactions as a way of getting my revenue versus punishing big transactions. This way, a small business can be just as effective. Did it make any sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
So I actually like the idea of making everything the same. The fairer the playing field, I think, the better, because I think that allows the consumer to decide where to go on their own. If you decide to decide that this area is better than the other, you'll wind up having lower prices in certain areas or different people in certain areas, and you wind up doing, you know, that kind of where government manipulates where people go. And that, generally speaking, is not a good idea. There's a story, and I think it's true, but I don't know if it's a good story. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't know if it's actually true, about a people who built a new college dorm, a new college building, and they didn't put any sidewalks in. And I don't know if this is true, but I love a story anyway. Suppose they spent one semester putting in no sidewalks. They simply allowed people to walk anywhere they wanted for one semester. And however the kids walked, that made a path. And when they found the path, they then put the sidewalks in the path. So they allowed the consumers, those who use the building, to decide where the sidewalks should go. This concept is a brilliant concept. I hope it's true story. I don't know if it is. But this concept's good. Leave it all neutral. Let people decide where they want to go and then act after that. Does that make sense, Tommy?
Yes, it does, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good night. All right, guys, you want to support me? You like what I'm saying? LarrySharp.com. Support me. Whatever you can give, please go ahead and give. $100, $25, $50. But not just that. You can go to the swag store. We have cool stuff. T-shirts, bumper stickers. Oh, see, she likes them. She's seen them. All good. Pick them up at LarrySharp.com. Swag store. Happy to pick up some cool stuff. Support the campaign. I will talk to you again after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
It's Larry Sharp, and I'm back on the Governor's House. I am running for governor at LarrySharp.com, or of course you might know the Larry Sharp for New York Facebook page. And I had my daughter, but she ran off. She's bored. Okay, she's back. She's come back. That's good. Awesome. Let me take a caller if I could. I want to take Jonathan, line two. How are you?
Hey, John. This is Larry. This is John. I'm from Levittown.
Yeah, you're John. I'm Larry.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Libertarian Party of Nassau County. But I had a question about property rights.
Sure, go ahead.
As you know, the court ruling with the Supreme Court about the Galarado Baker, who was turned away to gay couples.
Yep.
Now, Andrew Cuomo, the governor, he has a policy, and he says it's illegal to discriminate based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and he has a zero tolerance policy for bigotry. Mm-hmm. Now, we know the case is really about property rights and not so much about free speech. So I want to get your take on how you're going to protect businesses and their property rights and their rights to do what they want to do with their own business.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I want to cover a couple of issues on this one. The first one I'm going to talk about is the idea of zero tolerance. Zero tolerance is a bad idea, period. Zero tolerance makes things worse, not better. And what I mean by that, we're going to have zero tolerance. This happens often when it comes to sexual harassment. Zero tolerance, sexual harassment. Okay, that sounds amazing. But here's what actually happens. No one reports. Because when someone reports, that means someone's going to be fired. They don't want someone to be fired. And if I have a heavy hitter who's doing something wrong, I don't want them to be fired because they're my number one sales rep. So I'm going to cover things up and I'm going to lie and I'm going to fire the person. I'm going to fire the whistleblower. That's what happens in government all the time. They fire and punish the whistleblower. Zero tolerance doesn't work. If you say zero tolerance when it comes to discrimination, no one's going to report discrimination. Because the second you report it, now businesses close, people get punished, no one's going to report. I don't want zero tolerance. What I want is actual tolerance, meaning tell me, report so we can fix this. The problem is zero tolerance and His Majesty King Andrew, he is more worried about punishing than changing. I don't want people to harass. I don't want people to discriminate. I don't want them to. But if I punish them because they do it, that's not going to stop it. And that's the problem. No one gets it. I think, well, if we have strict laws, that'll stop them. We've had strict laws against lots of things for a long time, and yet we still have things going on. If you want to stop people from being racist, passing laws doesn't stop that. Even Martin Luther King Jr. said it. Martin Luther King Jr. said, literally, if I'm not going to say literally because I'm not sure, I forgot his actual words, so scratch that little piece. Martin Luther King Jr. said something like this, I'm paraphrasing. He said, laws can stop a man from killing me, but they can't stop a man from hating me. So if I'm trying to stop discrimination, I don't want to have strict punishment. What I want to do is have open conversation. If you want people to not be racist, let them be racist. I'm not joking. Let them be racist. Have them come out and talk about it, and maybe you can change someone's mind. You know, my hero is the guy, I believe his name is Daryl Davis. He's one of my brothers who actually went out and he actually tries to get Ku Klux Klan members to turn. And he's turned like 40 of them or something. I'm making that number up. It was a lot. And he actually keeps their hood as his trophy. How's he do it? By talking to them. Not by calling them evil and threatening to put them in jail. He talks to them and he turns people. I say it all the time. I can't stop you from being racist if I don't talk to you. I've got to talk to you. So I think the concept of zero tolerance is a bad idea. The concept of not allowing people to be racist is also a bad idea. If passing a law against racism would work, we pass the civil rights movement in the 60s. There'd be no racism left. It'd be gone. It doesn't work. So that's the next piece. Now, to your point, it's not about property rights. It is and it isn't. And here's the reason why. There is a cultural issue that we have, particularly in America, but throughout the entire world. And that is, we in America have gone through literally hundreds of years of state-sponsored, state-backed discrimination. From slavery, to women not being able to vote, to Japanese being in prison camps, to Jim Crow laws, to the war on drugs, insert thing here, we have a culture that is full of that. Which, by the way, proves that to keep people racist, you've got to make laws that make people racist, otherwise they wind up not being eventually. So, absolutely, the laws actually make things worse. With that in mind, understanding that cultural issue that has affected us and drives us crazy, this is one of the reasons why Gary Johnson was so worried about bake the cake laws. He was worried that the American people simply wouldn't take it. And to be forward, he was right. You can see it happening now. A lot of Americans just don't like it because it feels wrong. So here is my answer for that, that both protects property rights and at the same time accepts the cultural issues we must deal with. And that is, if you make a product, whatever that product may be, and you put it into the retail market being either online to be purchased or in a storefront to be purchased, and someone wants to come in and purchase that product, you must sell to them. Now, here's the reality. If in the case of a cake, I have a cake and I make a cake and I put a cake out there and I'm Jewish and a guy with a Nazi armband walks in and says, I want to buy that cake. I put that cake in the retail market, I must let him buy the cake. He says, I want to put Heil Hitler on it. You go, no. That's service. No. That's not pre-made. No. I want you to deliver it to my house. No. I want you to do this to the cake. No. I want you to bake me a new cake. No. So you can, if you know who the person is, deny them of service. Yes, you may. But if you don't know who they are, meaning retail online or retail in a store, and they come in with cash to purchase that product, you must let them buy the product. The concept being, if you agree to put your product into the retail market, you are accepting that anyone may buy it. If you don't want that, do not put your product into the retail market. And no matter what, service is never required because I don't want your labor going to someone who you don't want to work for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's also the great thing about free markets too is that if someone's racist, you know, baker is racist and doesn't want to make certain cakes for certain people, people won't buy it, and that's where the free market works by itself, and it will, you know, it will banter them, and it doesn't have to be forced. You know, it doesn't have to be the government.
It's great, but look, we have to be realistic here. There is a cultural aspect here in America that simply is here. You can be mad at me if you want to, it's not pure enough for you. It doesn't matter, it's reality, it's how it works. But do I want people to give their labor to people they want to give labor to? No, I don't, absolutely. And yes, to Keith, I would not sell cakes to heavy metal band people at all. I'm kidding, heavy metal's fine. Anyway, thank you so much for your call, I appreciate it. Great. All right, I have Jake on line one. Jake, how are you, sir? And I think I've lost Jake.
Jake?
I've lost Jake. Okay, Jake, call back. There we go. That works. All right, so I hope that answered the question that we had. I hope it does. Let me see if I can find some questions here. I can go through real fast. What? Oh, got it. All right. I have questions on vaping, becoming 21, and also minimum wage. We cover both. I covered minimum wage already, but let me do both of them. Vaping. I'm a big fan of the vaping industry, and I am because it reduces harm. Lots of people use vaping as a way to get rid of bad habits, but not just that, it creates community. If you ever go to any vaping shop, you will find they have things like couches and video games and TVs, because people go there and they create community. And this is what I love, particularly if you're trying to break a bad habit. Community is something that we need desperately. We need community in our lives, so I'm happy to have that. But more importantly, the vaping industry is a kind of industry where someone can start a business and make money literally out of their garage, literally out of their basement. I'm a big fan of the vaping industry. Now, making vaping only until you're 21, I'm not a fan of that, tell you the truth. Would I accept that as a temporary answer to get stopping them from beating up the vaping industry? To be forward, I probably would take it, but I don't like it. I don't like 21 because people use vaping to stop bad habits, and lots of people under 21 have bad habits. So I would really rather it be 18. So I would fight for vaping at 18. That's what I think. If that's what I think is right. Smoking's 18 too, isn't it? So smoking's 18. Vaping should be 18. I think drinking should be 18. I think they all should be 18. The problem we have is, and this goes to a different one of age laws, we moved the drinking age to 21. And the idea was, if we moved the drinking age to 21, then what would happen? Well, there'd be less drinking in high school. That's accurate. That actually worked. Totally worked. Here's the problem with that. It's as most government laws, short-term gain, long-term pain. The short-term gain actually worked. There are now less kids who drink in high school, and a whole lot more binge drinking in college, because the kids didn't binge drink in high school and learn how to handle their alcohol at their parents' house. Now they're away and they're having all kind of trouble doing binge drinking in college. And marijuana use is up in high school because it's easier to get marijuana than it is alcohol. So while it was a short-term gain, it wasn't really a long-term gain. I think vaping will be the same thing. I think we should allow vaping at 18, let people make decisions they want to. It is absolutely a harm reduction. It's a good community. I think 18 is the answer. But to be forward, if I could get the government off the vaping industry's back, I might accept 21. I'd probably try to squeeze 19 or something, get something out of it. I'd rather be younger than not. Edward, I hope I answered that question. All right, let me grab Jake on line one. Jake, how are you?
I think he's bad.
Did I lose you again, Jake?
Hey, Larry, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, brother? I wanted to talk about criminal justice reform.
Okay.
In New York City. I want to talk about the Standing Army, the Blue ISIS, as the street likes to call them, the NYPD beating down our fellow New Yorkers left and right.
So let me talk about, there's a lot of things here. Let me talk about prison reform, criminal justice, police, all those things. Let me tell you what the biggest issue that we have, the biggest thing, the overall problem, war on drugs. That covers all of it. That hurts our prison system. That hurts our police force. That makes us more aggressive. That deals with civil asset forfeiture. That does so many bad things. So I'll do some details, but overall, ending the war on drugs will absolutely affect all those things. One of the reasons why the prison system is so crowded and our COs are finding themselves completely overwhelmed and in a terrible place is because we're flooding the prisons with people who shouldn't be in prisons. And then we do that, and then we get mad at the COs for being aggressive when they're in a crappy place. The COs are in a bad spot right now, and then they're reacting, feeling like they're being beaten up by everybody, because they are. That's accurate. And then they get mad, and then they wonder, well, wait a minute. All the COs are bad.
Yeah.
No, the COs aren't bad. They're like anybody else. They're in a bad spot because we're shoving a bunch of people in the prisons and jails that we shouldn't be shoving in prisons and jails. But not just that. The cops are also having the same problem. Here's an issue with the cops. All right. I don't think people, the general person who joins the police force is racist. Any more racist than anybody else. I mean, all people in different groups, there's racist truck drivers, there's racist everybody. Got it. But I don't think they begin that way. Here's what happens. With the war on drugs, to fuel the war on drugs, which people who are cops are now judged by arrests, not by clean, not by good neighborhoods. Cops are judged by how much money they seize, so they can, you know, put money into the coffers of the local police forces and support the war on drugs. So now they have civil asset forfeiture. So where are cops going to hunt to do this? Well, they're not going to hunt in rich neighborhoods because rich people don't carry cash. They all carry credit cards or something like that, so they don't get civil asset forfeiture. Rich people have lawyers, so they wind up losing all their stuff. Rich people know the mayor and vote, so they can get their people removed and that kind of thing. Bad idea. Bad, bad, bad. But if I instead hunt in poor neighborhoods, well, guess what? These people are often immigrants who don't trust banks and they carry cash. They're small business owners who carry cash with transactions just like that. Some of them have bad credit, so they don't have bank. They can't have banks, so they carry cash again. So lots of money to get. They're also scared of law enforcement, so they say yes to whatever happens. They just get arrested. Many of them are immigrants. They don't understand the system, so it's very easy. A lot of them don't vote because they're either already felons or they're foreigners, so they can't vote. This is win, win, win. So, of course, they've been hunting there for years. So now you're some average everyday cop, but now all of a sudden you've been hunting in brown neighborhoods for the past 10 years. Everyone you're arresting, everyone you're harassing is brown. You start thinking brown people are bad. It's just human nature. Not just that, people who are getting arrested, many of them don't want to be arrested. So they fight back. You start thinking those people are bad. Oh my God, the world's ending. You start acting out. But that's just the overall issue. That's not all of it. That's a big chunk. If we end the war on drugs, we will have less crowded prisons and jails. If we end the war on drugs, we'll have less cops hunting in bad neighborhoods. If we end the war on drugs, we'll have less cops fighting in terrible neighborhoods, in brown neighborhoods. So the first step overall is to end the war on drugs. Now, let me go one step further to your cop issue. Next thing we're about cops. Cops are told every day, go out there and be safe. Go out there and be safe. I know my father was a cop and a CO. Go out there and be safe. I don't want them to be told, go out there and be safe. I want them to be told, go out there and do good. This is what Bill Bratton used to say, by the way. I used to work for Bill Bratton years ago. Go out there and be good. Go do good things. I want a whole different change of how cops should be thinking. If you're a police officer and you are so afraid that you're going to die every day, why are you a cop? It's a very important question to ask yourself. If you're that afraid, why are you a cop? And the answer I always get is, but cops especially put their life on the line. So do Marines. And they're doing it every day with people who fight back all the time. And I got to tell you, the bad guys over there overseas, they fight back a whole lot more than drug dealers do here. Most drug dealers, when they see a cop, they throw their gun in the trash and run. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they don't do that. They shoot back. So Marines also put their life on the line. If you're that afraid, why are you a cop? Why are we hiring people who are that afraid? On top of it, though, I don't want cops to die at all. Cops dying is a bad thing. I do not want them dying at all. I don't want them not to be safe. What I want them to be taught is the gun, the firearm, is the last resort. Sadly, they are often taught it's the first thing. No, don't pull your gun first. If you need to pull your gun to defend yourself, officer, please do that. I want you to defend yourself. I don't want you to die. Please defend yourself. But if you're pulling your gun first, your training is wrong. Your culture is bad. You have to be trained that that's not the right culture. The culture is, I'd rather you taser someone. I'd rather you hit someone. I'd rather do that than use the gun first. But more importantly, I'd rather you be taught how to de-escalate. This is an entirely different issue. Some police force are doing it relatively well. Relatively well, you find Boston doing a very good job compared to New York. You do find some police forces doing it much better. Some of the police forces now are actually having separate police forces. Pieces that are now being used just for things like domestic cases where you can actually de-escalate, where people who are on drugs, so people can now de-escalate. So they're actually almost like counselors. They actually wear a different uniform. So you have the police officer who wears a uniform of authority and the other one who wears a uniform of almost like a counselor. They wear things like khakis and polo shirts and things like that. So we have to change how the police force works and what they're doing. Go off and do good things. It's important that cops know their job is to do good things, not just to beat people. So that's the second piece. Now let me go to prison reform. I'm sorry, you asked a deep question. I gotta give you a little bit more. You asked a deep question.
That's good.
Now,
good.
The prison reform. We're making a big mistake. We are ignoring our COs, and this makes some people angry, but those people are wrong. If we're going to fix the prison and do prison reform, which we must do, we're going to have the COs as part of this. The COs know what's happening. They talk to the people every day. They deal with the inmate every day. Once we start getting less people going in because we're not ending the war on drugs, and people aren't going to war for possession to jail for possession anymore, now we can break up the jails and prisons into different groups. One of the groups is going to be what's called CRUs. They're CRUs. They're community reform units. These are separate communities that come out, run by two COs and a series of volunteers. Again, this is a program already working right now in Massachusetts, and it's working well. It's working right now with veterans. And the actual recidivism rate in Massachusetts is over 70%. With this program, it's under 5%. Yes, from over 70 to under 5. So how do I know which communities I should be using? I don't. That's what I need COs for. They're the ones who know what communities will work well together, who will support each other, who won't. But not just that, there are people in jail who really shouldn't come out of prison. There are bad guys in prison. And there are people in prison who aren't bad guys, but just deserve a second chance. And there are guys in prison who shouldn't be in prison. Those three types of people exist, but I don't know who they are. The COs do. So we have to be talking to people who've been in prison. Those people will be the volunteers, because the people who've gone through it are always going to be the best volunteers, the best people who are eager. They know how to fix it. They'll do it right. So we need both the people who've been in prison plus the COs working together, and we can have real prison reform. Jake, I yapped for a lot, I hope. Was that good enough?
Yes, yes. You're a brilliant man, Larry. I hope to see you do very well in the election.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Guys, got to go on a quick break. Go to LarrySharp.com. You want to call 877-480-4120. Back after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Back here at the governor's house, LarrySharp.com. I have phone lines ringing and questions going. I don't have Brian here to help me today. He bailed on me. If you're listening, Brian, it's all your fault. I will try my best to cover a couple. Let me give a couple quick questions, and then I will go on the phones. First, ballot access. People ask about ballot access in New York State. Yes, it will be difficult. We will have to get 15,000 votes. I'm sorry, 15,000 signatures. And they're going to be fought. The Republicans don't want me on the ballot. Democrats don't want me on the ballot. They're going to challenge them. So we're actually going to require about 35,000 or so signatures. They just, in Arizona, the Republican Party itself, got rid of Kevin McCormick, who was a Libertarian running for governor. He will not be on the ballot now. They have absolutely trashed it and gotten him off the ballot. And it's embarrassing that our nation does that. So we will need about 35,000 signatures to get on the ballot. But we'll get it. We do it every year. We'll do it again this year. If you want to help, love to have you come on out. All right. Also, I'm talking about drilling. People asking about drilling. Here's my rule on fracking and drilling and all those things. The idea of a statewide moratorium on that is a bad idea. It is a bad idea to have a statewide moratorium. Here are the two rules on it. Rule number one, I expect each county to decide if they want it in their county. Number one, the reality of it is when it comes to fracking, I think there are 14 or 15 counties in New York State that can realistically do fracking. And I think 12 or 13 have already said they don't want it. So the odds are we're not going to have fracking in New York. But that's not my call as governor. My call is letting a county decide. But not just that. Larry, what if it covers one or two or three more counties? Then all of them have to decide yes. If those counties agree, I'm okay with that as long as the counties agree. But there's a second piece, and that is it must be transparent. We allowed, and shame on us, and they didn't do it, shame on them, they were not transparent in the past in fracking. They were not transparent at all. Shame on us as a nation, as a group of people for allowing that, and shame on them for doing it, and they hid behind intellectual property rules and said, oh, I'm not going to tell you how I'm doing it and where it's going. No, you're going to put something in the ground underneath people's homes. No worries, you must be 100% transparent. If the company is transparent on how and what they're doing, and the counties affected agree, I'm totally okay with drilling a fracking as long as those two things are true. They want to hide behind intellectual property? No, they don't get to do it. So those two things are true, they can do it. No worries. All right, red flag law. His Majesty has decided there's a red flag law. For those of you who don't know that, that means a teacher now who thinks that a child may have a problem, teacher discretion, can now ask a judge to have the cops come by, kick down their parents' door, and take all their weapons. Yes, I'm not joking. Now teachers can be part of King Andrew's Secret Service, their Gestapo, and kick down doors and take people's firearms. It is a terrible, terrible idea. It's a terrible idea for several reasons. Number one, if you're a teacher, you are now either criminally or socially or in some way, shape, or form civilly liable now for what your students will do. If you are, what are you going to err on? Yeah, you're going to err on the side of taking people's guns. Because if some kid does something bad, you're in trouble. Of course you're going to keep your job. You've just told every teacher, if someone draws a gun in art class, tell the cops and have the teachers and have the cops come take their guns. Well, Larry, they have to go to a judge. Well, now the judge is liable. What's he going to do? He's going to say, take the guns. It's a terrible way of doing things. It's a really bad idea. It's horrible. Again, taking the guns isn't the issue. It isn't the firearms. And I've said this before, but I have to say it 1,000 times if need be. The last big shooter that we had, he didn't just have guns. He also had pipe bombs available. And he also had pressure cooker bombs available in case he couldn't steal the guns. He stole the guns. If he got the guns, he was going to use them. If he didn't get the guns, he was going to use pipe bombs or pressure cooker bombs. Guns aren't killing our kids. Three things are killing our kids. Lack of community, lack of purpose, and loneliness.
And ketchup.
And ketchup?
And ketchup.
Yes. If we don't get rid of those three things plus ketchup, then we're not going to solve our problem. If they don't use guns, they'll use something else. I want people to be happy. Of course I want less deaths when there's shootings. But how about not focusing on that and instead focus on less shootings? Let's focus on the actual root, not the branch. I hope I answer those questions. Got to have a quick break. When I come back, I'll get both phone calls. 877-480-4120, LarrySharp.com. Give what you can. $200, $50, $100. Please do what you can to help. Talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Governor's House. Larry Sharp at LarrySharp.com. I'll grab these next calls. This is Nolan on line two. Nolan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I'm a big fan. So, a couple things. So, number one, do you know yet if you're going to be at the debates on the stage with Molinaro and Nixon and King Andrew and everyone?
My assumption is Nixon will not be there. The odds are she's going to lose in the primary. And now that Stephanie Miner has stepped in, I think, this is my gut, I don't know this, it's just my gut, she's going to shift herself to fall behind Miner. Cuomo has done a very good job of completely neutering Nixon because he is literally a monarch of the Democratic Party. He owns it. He destroyed her. And that's why Stephanie Miner is now running as independent. She could never get the nomination as a Democrat. And Cuomo has made sure of that. Nixon made the mistake of thinking that her celebrity was good enough to fight the corruption. It's not enough.
Yeah.
So I don't think Nixon will be there. The next thing is when it comes to debating, the odds are I will be there. The question is, will His Majesty debate? If I was him, I wouldn't. But he might because he does have a lot of hubris. He does think he's better than everybody, and he may want to try to destroy us, and he may want to do that. If he's silly enough to let me debate him, he's going to look bad.
Yeah.
But they would be in October, by the way.
Oh, okay, good. I might be there, so hopefully if I go there, hopefully I see you.
Okay.
The other question I had was, it's looking more and more like the Democrats are going to take back the New York State Senate.
Uh-huh.
So, because we need to get rid of, we need to get repeal the SAFE Act.
Yep.
So, if the Democrats take back the New York State Senate, and they have the Assembly and they have the Senate, how do we repeal the New York State Act?
Yeah,
we
do it by electing me as the governor. If you don't elect me as governor, not only will the SAFE Act stay, it will be reinforced. The red flag law will stay and be reinforced. There will be a backdoor to losing. Here is the overall goal when it comes to guns in New York State. If you don't know this already, the overall gun is the overall goal is to make it so scary to own a gun that you either decide to not own one, or you own one illegally so they can call you a criminal, or you own a bunch of them so they can call you a kook. That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the long term goal. If we don't get me in, that's going to happen. And that's sad. Now, someone just posted the SAFE Act has 4% compliance. They're not unhappy about that because that means 96% criminals. People they can call criminal and people they can attack and say, but they're criminals. They're illegal guns. And people will get scared and they'll be totally fine when the cops kick your door in. So this done purposefully. But here's the answer. It doesn't matter who's in the Senate or in the Assembly. If you understand how I'm going to handle the SAFE Act, I'm going to neuter it without using them in 2019. It will be neutered in 2019, so it's useless by 2020, and then they'll repeal it because I'll be taking my entire first year as I neuter it, talking about how stupid it is, and showing that there's no zombie apocalypse when all of a sudden we don't enforce the SAFE Act. When people have their Second Amendment rights, guess what? There's no zombie apocalypse. And when people actually see that, and I give the Assembly the air cover they need, they will do it anyway. So your point's a valid one, but I don't care. The number one thing is getting me into the governor's house. I will neuter it myself, and then it will go away. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. The only other thing I'm going to ask is there a place, because you said you needed, like, petitions. Is there, like, a place where we can help out to, like...
Yes, go to LarrySharp.com. and click on the volunteer button and put your name in a volunteer, and we will get you.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good night.
Good luck in November. Thank you.
All right, bye. All right, I'm going to take Dave. Dave, how are you, sir?
Good, Larry. How are you tonight?
What's going on?
Well, I've been watching, and could you clarify something what you said earlier about the small businesses and paying taxes?
Yeah.
And not did you say and get them up the federal government off their back when they're doing just locally?
Yes, there's a law right now in Wyoming that is really targeted to farmers, right? It's targeted to farmers. And that is the idea that if a farmer agrees to sell only within the state of Wyoming, that because they're only selling within Wyoming, since they're not crossing a border, the federal government has no reason to regulate it. That's the law. And they're actually, it's working in Wyoming right now when it comes to farmers. I want to expand that to all businesses in New York State. If you're a small business and you apply simply by signing a sheet of paper saying that you will only sell within New York State, if you're a small business, you should be able at that point to not have to be affected by federal regulatory bodies. Why do you have to deal with federal regulatory bodies when you're only selling within New York State? Now, what happens is large businesses almost always sell across state lines. So a small business by default, particularly one that wants to stay local, will have a small advantage. And that's what I want, because big business always has advantages because of the bodies they have, the cash flow they have. They always have an advantage. So giving this advantage to small businesses, all of a sudden that would then hopefully even the playing field. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you can't get them not to pay federal taxes.
I didn't say that. I said not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I said not deal with federal regulatory bodies. Now, the reason why that matters is the federal taxes are bad, but licensing and regulatory fees, things of that sort, can also be expensive. So all of a sudden, those go away. But I'll add one more thing, since you brought it up. We also want to work on workers' comp, too. Right now, workers' comp is crushing people. We want to get rid of NY Crib. We got to dump that. And we got to stop with the idea that that small businesses have to pay workers' comp for both work-related and non-work-related injuries. They should pay just for work-related. That will cut their workers' comp fees tremendously. We also want to allow, if they want to, small businesses that are large enough, more like medium-sized businesses, to self-fund if they want to, which again will cut their workers' comp cost. So there's lots of ways we can deal with workers' comp. When it comes to someone who's doing construction, we also want to end the scaffolding law, which is an old law, which all that does is basically put a huge amount of extra cost into building anything new and hurts construction companies. So there are several things I can do. I could talk for an hour just on that. So I hope I answered your question at least.
Well, yeah, you did, because I know a lot of small farming businesses. I mean, you got a lot in New York, a lot of garden centers and
100%.
Farm markets. I know someone personally, and I've been talking.
And I will be able to help all of them.
You, and he's really getting interested. Where they have an organic farm.
This is exactly what I want to help out. That local guy who wants to do things like farm to table, who wants to do those things better and help out. Exactly right. So, yeah. So, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Okay.
Great. All right. I have, is this Jenna?
Jamie.
Oh, Jamie. Sorry. Jamie, how are you?
Yes. Good. How are you, Larry? Larry, I want to ask you a question. And what I want is, maybe I actually kind of know, but how come on your website, and if you haven't explained that I have not heard of, the process in New York State about how in voting in primaries and the general elections, and some people who, like myself, I'm a registered Republican, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If people don't know, you got so many days in the state can change to a different party, a certain process. So to help get more votes for you, how come you don't post on your website the instructions what to do? Because a lot of people do not know that.
You know, it's a good point. I guess we hadn't thought of it. It's not a bad idea. We probably do that. And I think my people are watching this now. So my team that's watching, listen to what Jamie said. I think it's actually not a bad idea. To be full with you, Jamie, I assume people would just go to the board of electors, elections. I assume they would do that. It's not a bad idea, though, to be very full with you. I don't really...
Right, yeah, exactly. Because like I said, if you want to get more votes, because if I'm a registered Republican and I don't change my thing, I can't vote for you in the general election.
Well, yes, you can. No. Please, my friend. No, if you, in a general election,
I thought there was.
No, to be clear, in a general election, as long as you are registered to vote, you can vote for anybody in a general election. How that's applied, though, is if the Republicans were to run a primary, you could only vote in that primary, which is a Republican Party primary, if you are a registered Republican. And the problem is your registration doesn't change until December anyway. So if you're not registered as a Republican now, you cannot vote in Republican primary. Now, I don't think there's going to be a Republican primary, so it probably won't matter. But if there is one, only registered Republicans do so. Democrats, same thing.
Right.
So if you're a Democrat, if you're a registered Democrat, you can vote in a Democratic primary. There will be a Democratic primary. It'll be a joke. Cuomo's going to walk away with it. But there will be a Democratic primary, and you can only vote if you're a Democrat.
That's what I think we should post this stuff on your website to get people. A lot of people don't know, like me. I was misinformed.
Yep.
So I know you can go to the website, but sometimes the websites you go to the Board of Elections are not really clear. You're easy to navigate for some people.
It's a great idea, and I just see one of my teammates saying, great idea, thank you. Yes, so thank you for the call. We will work on that.
Good luck. I'm even voting for you.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
All right, so thank you guys. I appreciate that. I'm glad you guys were calling in. Here's what I need from you to do. One or two things. If you like what I'm doing, if you think this is the way you want your politicians to talk to you, if you think this is the way you want them to be able to communicate directly with you and you want to be able to share this with other friends and let me know that, here's what I want you to do. Go to LarrySharp.com, and if you want to donate, please donate. If you don't want to donate, no worries. Buy something. I have cool bumper stickers, T-shirts. I have beautiful T-shirts that say Fathers Matter, because they do. I have T-shirts talking about the SAFE Act. I have T-shirts talking about a new New York. I've got bumper stickers that say Sharp Hollister, the amazing Andrew Hollister, who is my lieutenant governor. I have those who say Larry Sharp for governor. I have yard signs. Get out there. Purchase something. Let people know you support me. And please share this. And finally, donate whatever you can donate. I have to report my how much money I bring in. I have to report July 12th. By the way, my birthday, July 12th. I have to report July 12th. So the more I report, the bigger I look, the better chance that I can get some more press and scare those Democrats, Republicans that are coming to my side. LarrySharp.com. This is Larry Sharp at the Governor's House, and I will see you all next week. Go ahead. Say something, Josie.
99 of your brain needs ketchup. Because when I was at school and I was having french fries, they did not serve ketchup. 99% of your brain needs ketchup.
99% of your brain needs ketchup. There we go. So we know that. Vote sharp and have ketchup. All right, guys. I'll see you next week right here at the Governor's House.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.